At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Fire Tribe, October 27th, the saga continues.
Sure does.
Strikers are in shambles. Liverpool in tears, and our FPL teams are holding on for dear life.
You know who's not in shambles?
Manchester United. We're not doing that again. We did that last week. We already did this last week with Man U. You don't get it again. You like that intro? I'm trying to do a little funny sentence every week. You know, some of those dad jokes?
That was good, Sean. That was good.
I appreciate you guys. How you boys doing today? Dad brain, sorry. How are you boys doing today?
Fantastic.
Feeling good. Pretty good.
Yeah, you two, club-wise, had some outstanding weekends.
Pretty good weekend, yeah. Madrid beat Barca. The only thing I'm a little sad about is they should have went for blood and beat them by three or four more goals, but I'll take the win. Uh-huh. Lamine Yamal learned his lesson. Don't talk ish about the greatest club ever. So that 18-year-old can go to hell right now.
He's not still 18, is he?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah. And Dave, I know we all saw what happened. I mean, I'm sure the majority of people are happy about what happened. Although I don't know. If you're like a diehard, you know, Premier League fan and you don't like Man U or Liverpool, were you happy or sad about that? Because people love watching Man U suffer, but they also hate to see Liverpool win.
Wait, what?
Liverpool.
If you're say you're a diehard fan of the NFL, like who would you rather win, Kansas City or the Eagles? You know what I mean? It's like, you know,
what does that have to do with this
pick
week?
Your poison. Man U beat Liverpool, so people may say
ago.
I hate
that was 2 weeks ago.
That's okay. You can bring it up again. Trust
you're right.
Me.
It is. But
you can bring it up again.
You're right. But okay, back to 2 weeks then. It's the same idea. I just listen.
Dad, we forgive you.
Listen, in my defense, the nanny called off today. I've been watching that baby since 7:30 in the morning.
United beat Brighton.
So no one dislikes Brighton. So the point doesn't really hold water.
Hey, if you're confused right now, just stay with us. We'll get it together.
This is what we do. This is how we do it. We're not polished. Whatever. Leave me alone. All right, review time. Jeez Louise. Phil, hop into the review. People know how the week went in the Fireside Mini League.
Are you able to pull up the Mini League?
I could do that for you.
All right, well, while you pull that up, honestly, outside of one person in our league, Mr. Peter Collier, who got 74 points thanks to a bench boost, and I believe he also started Van de Ven and Pedro Porro, so shout out him.
Big shout out.
74 points, 74? That was probably the best, probably gave him a massive green arrow. The rest of us kind of struggled, and I would honestly say everyone had the same week outside of those who had Van de Ven. They had 15 to 25 points more. So out of the three of us, Sean had Van de Ven, 56 points this week. He was the top one of the three of us. So I don't know if you want to take us through your team and your thought process.
Yeah, I can do that. It was a really horrible week. They can prove it with a text. I texted in sorrow about how bad my team was going to perform this week until 12:30 p.m. Eastern hit and things changed. My team was horrible this week. I wildcarded early and I'm starting to feel some of those effects on some of the guys that were good when I wildcarded that are struggling. Sinesse had 5, not bad. Gehi had 4. I mean, that was okay. The midfield didn't do anything. Forwards didn't do anything. Bowen got an assist. That was the best I had. And then, of course, yeah, Van de Ven, 23 points. I've left him in. I've had him the whole season. I can't say that I haven't thought about trying to get rid of him. It just hadn't happened yet. But, sometimes luck is on your side. Oh. And I mean, you can see how confident I was in Tottenham to get a shutout. Vicario's on my bench. So obviously, you know, watching Tottenham the last few weeks, the confidence wasn't really there for a shutout, but we take what we get. You know, that propelled me actually into a green arrow this week. So I'm up to, what, 186,000?
No bad, no bad.
So 56 points gets you a green arrow. That probably tells you the week wasn't all that great for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that keeps you in first. Dave's still in second, and I am still in third. But Luke Collier, he's in fourth. He's catching up to me. I believe he also had Van de Ven. So I feel like this week was just a story of Van de Ven and Rodon, who Dave and I did have, which probably salvaged our week.
You guys had the Arsenal defenders, too.
And Gabriel, them, which at this point is a lock.
He also had Timber.
So.
But yeah, I feel like it was just the week of Rodon and Van de Ven.
Yeah, Van de Ven.
And if you had both, well,
Van de Ven made the week for many, many people.
But that's about it.
All right.
Back to you, sir.
Back to me. I love that. I love that for me. Let me get the notes back up here, since I have to take them down to show off my sweet team. Just kidding. Yeah, on to the topics and transfers.
It's time for topics and transfers.
Topics and transfers. So topics for the day. Man U now has a 3-game win streak for the first time since February 2024. The last time they won 4 in a row was the end of the 23 season and then leading in to the 23-24 season. I wanted to mention it because Phil brought it up. I'm sure a lot of you out there that are big into the EPL, you probably know the guy who hasn't cut his hair since the last time Man U won 5 in a row. And what do they need? Two more.
Yeah,
Phil, who do they have? You said it before.
They have Forest, and then they have
Spurs.
That's going to be a big test.
What worries me is they're going to lose to Forest and then beat Spurs.
That'd be funny.
And this man's hair is just going to continue to grow. I really should have looked at what his name was before we came on here, but
if you Google Manchester United hair, look at this. Man United fan not cutting hair.
This guy's famous. Good for him.
It is.
His name.
Give him a shout out.
Frank Letts.
Shout out. You probably don't need it because you're the first Google search, but you get it anyways.
Illit, maybe.
Or Illit, maybe, I guess. Yeah, that's a capital I.
So has Amorim finally got this team on track, Dave? Is it too premature to say this?
Yeah, it is. I'm pumped, but I still am not sure if this formation will succeed in the Premier League long term, but
sure.
I think the quality, having more quality up front is finally starting to show through. He made a little tweak where I think, and even the announcers pointed it out a whole bunch, where one of the center backs would just follow somebody into the midfield every time Brighton had the ball. And one of United's issues is they get outnumbered in the midfield, especially in their own half, a good bit, just only playing two guys in there. So they're definitely improving. I'm excited. I mean, I think we all knew once Mbeumo, Cunha, Sesko got on track, they would win some more games, and Cunha got off the mark with a big goal.
Yeah.
And Mbeumo's been playing well for a while, and now he's finally starting to get the goals and assists to show it. But I'm excited. They're in, what, fifth or sixth now? I didn't even look. They were in the top four briefly before all the games finished. So
are the offensive assets, FPL-wise, are the offensive assets premium right now for the upcoming schedule? Is it a... I'll take anyone from Bruno and Mbeumo, Cunha, or Sesko. Is it anyone, or is it still? Are we still just on?
I think it's Bruno and Mbeumo. Cunha, if you're looking for a differential, is one to take a swing on. If he ever starts Mason Mount over him again, I'm gonna lose my mind. I'm not ready to play Sesko yet on a regular basis. He still has some long stretches where he's just not super involved. I think that's some of it's a product of the formation, but I think Bruno and Mbeumo and then Cunha if you want a differential. Okay. Still wait and see on Sesko.
All right, well, on the flip side, we have Liverpool, who played them 2 weeks ago. They played each other 2 weeks ago, everyone. Don't get that confused. Liverpool, they've lost 4 in a row, first time since February of 2021 that they've lost 4 games in a row. So, question for me is, was Schlott living off a Klopp team that was left for him? Was he living off of someone else's team? Now he's had the offseason to build his own roster the way he wants, and this is the product? Or is it a combination of that and Salah's not performing the same way he did for him, and we're seeing what Salah might have been covering last year?
I know what I think. I think it's some of all of what you said. Salah's otherworldly season definitely papered over some issues. I do think, like, all of the changes, and it wasn't just all the new guys. There's no more Luis Diaz, Darwin Nunez, unfortunate. Thiago Jota.
R.I.P.
They just looked more cohesive last year, and, like, we expected some of that with all the new guys. But I also am starting to give some credence to, like, it was sort of muscle memory last year with, like, him just taking over Klopp's team for those guys, because he just basically trotted out the same team every week, and they just dominated, and Salah scored every game, mm-hmm. and didn't really need to do much.
Yeah, I just focusing on Salah, the feeling I get when watching them is he doesn't have the explosiveness as before, which if you still keep him on the right wing, you're basically giving up that entire side where teams don't have to focus defenders to like they did other years. Which when you do that, it opens space up on the other side or in the middle. And when you think about a player like Ronaldo,
everything
But when he lost his speed, when he lost his pace, he moved to a central position. But the team doesn't affect it as much because that central position is not like you don't get speed from. Like what I'm trying to say is Salah's in such a critical position to open the field, to create threat, to force defenders to play out wide. I think teams can just pack it in because Salah doesn't have that explosiveness anymore to win those one-on-ones and create the opportunity. So when you keep him out there and rely heavily on him and he can't produce, it just makes it so easy to defend. And I think that's part of the problem. He's not that explosive player anymore. And
All right, so the second question is the same that I gave for Man U. Anyone offensively, we're not talking defense, you can probably throw Kirk as in, he did get a goal. Yeah. He plays offense. So let's say, I'll say anyone except maybe center backs and goalkeeper worth it. Would you be willing to go pick any of them up? That includes Gakpo, the one guy Gakpo's we said last week. Even after this week, you'd still be interested in Gakpo. It's a little unpredictable to me who's going to get the goals or if they're going to score the goals. So I'm not super interested in any of them. So.
I mean,
same here.
I think you would take for a 7 million, 7.1, 7.7.
The price helps. The price helps Gakpo a lot.
You would take a guy on a team that generally does create more than they don't.
Fair.
So you go for the cheapest option that's actually gotten the most returns. Right?
You just wait for the game where Ekitike comes in at minute 55 and you say to yourself, well, I knew this was... You're taking that
risk.
That's a risk. But you go into it knowing that. You go into it knowing the risk that Gakpo has been since he's been on this team. Taken out of the lineup for various reasons.
And you accept,
did it last year and this year.
And you accept it a little more because of that price point. He's not that 9 to 11 million, which would drive you nuts if they only play 55 minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not interested really in anybody on that team. And they haven't kept a clean sheet since they shut out Burnley in game week 4. They're having trouble keeping the ball out of their net. So yeah, as I said, probably a month ago, until they just generally look better as a team and in real life, I'm not interested in anybody. Gakpo would be the only one. If you made me buy someone, it'd be him, but I'm not really.
It's a long season, but that gelling period, I think we're getting to a point where, you know, is it just not going to work?
Yeah.
You know, we're getting into game week, 10 next week. And it's just, you know, we're getting close to a 25% of the season done and dusted.
So. Yeah. I mean, Arsenal with City's loss too. I mean, they're sitting pretty right now.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Okay, last piece of news I wanted to mention was Sean Dyche did have his first game. We spoke about him last week. They lost 2-0 to Bournemouth, and it's a tough matchup, but it might be more than a managerial problem at this point. It might be a player issue for Forest, and they might be seeing themselves as a relegation squad as we go into the further pieces of this season. I don't know what you guys think. It feels like it's becoming a team issue. Maybe, I mean, it's his first game, I'll give him time, but like we talked about, his specialty is not to go out and get a bunch of goals. That's not what he's good at. He's good at grinding teams down and playing defensively, and they just lost 2-0. So, you know, I'll give him more time, but
he's done this before. He's taken control of teams that are worse than this Forest team and kept them from getting relegated. So I'm going to give him more than a game, but yeah, it needs to turn around pretty quick.
To that point, it's, you just said, like, why do the teams bring him in to not get relegated? So I think that the management probably realizes what they have ahead of them and are like, we got to get this guy in.
Yeah.
I think Dyche's style is also closer to the way they played under Nuno last year. Dyche is a much more defensive coach than Ainge, who I'm not sure if he knows what that word means. Mm-hmm. So I think Dyche's style should, in theory, fit their personnel better, but we'll see.
All right. Well, those are the topics. And we'll go right into the transfers, Dave. So let us know who's coming in, who's coming out.
So the theme this week for the ins, the transfer ins, is forwards and Arsenal guys. Gabriel, Timber, and Rice are all in the most transferred in players. Oh, that was the Timber noise. I was wondering.
Listen, I take all the time to put it together.
Julian!
I gotta use it. No, he's a stud.
Yeah, Julian!
Arsenal defensive assets. Worked really well for me this week. Mm-hmm. Declan Rice, I feel like, has flown a little bit under the radar this year in terms of midfielders.
How many free kicks can they get, right? I don't know.
Only Mbeumo and Semenyo have more points among midfielders than Declan Rice.
He's on such a good team. It's fair.
He does it a little bit differently every week. Some weeks it's DEFCON. Some weeks it's a free kick. Some weeks it's
the extra clean sheet point.
He gets a assist off of a corner kick. So he's an interesting option. I'm surprised to see that he's 13% owned. I actually thought it would be a little bit lower than that.
It's pretty high.
Somebody that you could consider if, you know, three Arsenal guys is kind of the way to go right now. If you're amongst the people who want to move off their forward option, he's a good sort of under-the-radar guy to consider. But I wanted to talk about the forwards because Mateta, Thiago, Voltmata, and Danny Welbeck are all in the top eight transfer-ins this week.
Yeah.
I want to mention two things. For all four of those guys, I feel like other than Haaland, are probably the next four best options at forward right now. Maybe throw Kroupi in there, who we'll talk about.
Kroupi!
But
I'm poopy.
The other thing I wanted to mention is the top transfer out to bring in those guys is the same guy, and it's João Pedro, who is the most transferred player out.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
He's I don't even want to talk about
him. If that kid that is not getting his haircut till United win five in a row decided to not get his haircut till João Pedro
gets a shot.
Didn't have
a shot on net.
As a shot on target.
Goal, get a shot on net.
His hair would still be growing because he went another week without a shot on target. None of those since game week three, by the way.
He's 55% owned still. One of them.
I think I saw which forward is it? I think Thiago has more. Mm-hmm. has more big chances than João Pedro it's Mateta has more big chances than João Pedro just has shots. Total shots, shots on target.
He had I think it's
Thiago too for that stat.
Take away his three game stretch and he's quite literally useless.
One of you said he needs Cole Palmer.
I said it. I think he does.
I mean, well, I'm not sure what else you could. I know he had some streakiness last year for Brighton when he was pretty good, but maybe he does just need a provider behind him.
I don't think it's that as much he fits the skill set of like a 10, like a Benzema type forward. So I feel like Maresca is trying to bring him back and playing him more. I think he pretty much started as a number 10 against Sunderland.
He did.
Right?
They played Gouye up front.
Yeah, so you watch the game and it's like he's just dropping back so much. Listen, did you want to talk about this
well,
in a bit?
Let me just...
All right, let rip it out.
No, I'm going to let you go.
No!
We're going into the first... We're just going to roll.
I don't want to talk anymore.
Are you done?
I'm done.
I can be done.
Listen, we're already in it, so let's just go for it. We're going to go straight into player picks because the conversation started. Phil, the conversation is going to be, we're talking Kroupi, who is the Bournemouth forward, who's been on fire with Evan Nielsen out, versus João Pedro. Who would you like more going into the... up until the halfway point of the season when we get our chips again. So continue exactly, just continue what you were saying about João Pedro and then, you know, go from there.
I mean, that's such a loaded question. We could spend 6 hours
talking
about that.
That's the whole point. That's the whole point.
But back to what I was saying before you rudely interrupted me.
Apologies.
I do think, I'm kidding. Without Palmer, they're trying to make Pedro play in that role. And he looks lost and he's never near the danger area. So it's just hard to trust that. Until Palmer's back or unless he plays up top, like as an actual number nine, he's going to consistently do much. With that said, it's not like he's extremely expensive. they have great fixtures ahead. So like, it's such a weird situation. If you were a 9-10 million type of guy, because, well, I don't know why he would be, but if he was that price point, it would be an easy answer. But at 7 million, like
7.5,
part of you, like, I would understand if you want to hold on to him, but obviously Krupe is on fire.
4.6 million.
Yeah, 4.6 million. He's an enabler for other players. We've talked about how strong Bournemouth is offensively, and he seems to be that other guy alongside Semenyo. So I do think for the time being, it's really easy to move for him. Maybe it opens funds up to bring in Osaka or Mbeumo, which are two, the theme of like who people are transferring him. So I would probably go with Mr. Not Poopy Krupe.
I was going to say, so you're on the Krupe's Not Poopy
train. Yeah. There's just, there's nothing to back Pedro right now. As long as you have a solid plan on why you're transferring him out.
Yeah, and just, you know, so the people know, because we kind of, I kind of hopped us into this conversation, you know, you can have this conversation with a bunch of forwards versus João Pedro. We're choosing Krupe because he is probably the most on the up and up right now, mm-hmm. versus João Pedro, who we all agree is the most on the way down of all the forwards. So, you know, again, you could have this conversation with a lot of forwards versus Pedro. Yeah. This is what we're going with. Dave, do you want to go next? Do you want me to go next?
I'll go next. Go, I was just going to say, I would answer this Krupe as well. Just be aware that Evan Nielsen's injury is not like a long-term thing.
He's 50% at the moment, to your point.
Iriola loves him, and he's like said as much multiple times in the press. So, but even if like Evan Nielsen comes back and Krupe loses his starting place, you still saved the money and made the rest of your team that much better. Like, you can just have Krupe on your bench if he's not starting anymore till you can get him out. You'll be able to use that money elsewhere on your team and play like 3-5-2 or 4-4-2 and still be fine. So I would still take Krupe even if he lost his job.
I think he's a better version of Markui.
Well, he's like starting and scoring goals. So yeah,
he's in starting, like, and he's more of that like guy you just have on your bench, or if you have to start him, you start him. You have a better chance of getting stuff from him than Gui, and he's fairly cheap too.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Right. Shiny boy.
Yeah, I'm gonna do this quickly. I'm gonna throw some stats out because I'll give my opinion, but I also want to give the people to let them make their own decision here. So Pedro still third amongst forwards in points, 2 goals, 3 assists. Most of that I already said. It's the game week 2 to 4 stretch. Mm-hmm. It's the only time he's out of return this season. So third in points, 18th in expected goals.
Yeah,
on the season, but he's still number one in expected assists. So, you know, he is, you know, the underlying numbers are not horrible. They're not great. He's 18th in shots with 11, despite playing 93% of the time, which is the fourth most. So he's on the field all the time, not getting a lot of opportunities. The worry is, which you said, he depended on Palmer a little too much. Despite the 11 shots, he's only had 2 in his last 4 games with an expected goal of less than 0.08.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's not good. It's not good. So, all that to be said, it's not good. We know this. My holdup for him is he is kind of known to be a streaky player. Mm-hmm. We said it all last year. We know this is what he does. 3 games, 4 games, good. 5 games, 6 games, bad. And then he rinse and repeat, right? So it's hard to say that next week he won't just turn it on. It's been really bad, though. At least last season he was still getting opportunities. He's really not right now.
Yeah.
And the ownership at 55%... is a big deal, right? If you got a guy that's not getting points, that's owned 55%, it's like, why am I doing this? I'm not even getting differential out of this. So I worry for him. But on the flip side, Krupe, 3 returns, 4 games. We just said Bournemouth is a pretty good offensive team right now. The next 2 games are really bad for them, but the 3 after that are fantastic. He does have a record-breaking signing right behind him. We just said that Evan Nielsen, he's on the team for a reason. They bought him for a reason. They're going to play him. So minutes are a concern for Krupe. He's not just going to make Evan Nielsen not play anymore. But since game week 6, he's had 8 shots, 4 goals. That's 5th. Expected goals is 2.16. That's 13th, despite playing significantly less minutes than anyone else ahead of him. He's not playing. He hasn't played 90 yet, I don't believe. Both him and Pedro overperforming XFPL by 6. But again, the minutes are what really concerns me with him. All that being said, make your own decision. I am also on the Krupe train because I'm okay putting a $4.6 million player on my bench if he's not playing whenever Nielsen comes back versus feeling like I have to play João Pedro every week hoping to get a return and it never happens.
Yeah.
So we're all on the croupy, totally not poopy train, I think, here. So
totally agree.
You make your own decision out there. I know it's very difficult to move off a guy that you know has such immense talent, but maybe move off him until mid-November when Palmer comes back and then give it another shot.
Yeah.
Might be the smartest play. Okay. So that conversation done. Let's move on to Gyökeres. Phil, can you start us off in the Gyökeres conversation?
Yeah, I honestly think it's not as bad as João Pedro's, but it kind of fits the same theme where... And I said, I tweeted this today, like, he scored in the Champions League, getting his confidence back. In previous games, he's always in the right place. He's just not getting the final product, similar to, like, Bruno Fernandes. So when you watch him, you're like, okay, I know this guy's going to get chances. And that's, like, the first checkbox. Is he involved? I don't think you keep Gyökeres. If you moved off of him, fair play to you. You probably had a great plan. You saved money. He blanked again. But I don't think you kept Gyökeres just for the Palace game. Because everyone knew that was going to be a hard game. Yeah. Palace defends extremely well. It's just, it was going to be off of a random goal. And Eze, I mean, it was a great finish by Eze, but it was kind of a still random play. So with their upcoming fixtures with Burnley, then Sunderland, I think that's where you what you kept him for.
I would, yeah.
So you give him both those games at that point. If he's still not scoring, gets at least one return, then I think it probably is a good time to move off of him.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's everyone manages their team differently, but that's my opinion. You didn't keep him just for Crystal Palace's game. You kept him for the next two games.
All the people out there who are like, totally agree. Like, screw you, Phil. I quite literally kept him for the Crystal Palace game. You don't know me.
I mean, if you did that, you're mental.
You don't know me.
You're freaking mental.
You're mental.
Yeah, I think it's easier to make the argument to stick with him versus someone like João Pedro, because like you said, Gyökeres is at least involved. He's getting some chances. His underlying numbers are still pretty good. So, yeah, I don't think he... I know the Premier League is a step up from Portuguese La Liga, but I don't think... I don't think it's a too big of a step for him. I don't think he forgot how to score goals. So I think if you bought him for this good run of Arsenal fixtures, you should at least stick with him one more week, which is what I'm going to do, and then reevaluate if he blanks this week.
And the other thing is, I was looking at this. Arsenal, he's the leading goal scorer for Arsenal. It's like he has... At least in the Premier League, he has three goals. Then multiple guys have two. So it's like everyone is scoring, and it's not like Arsenal's had many games of scoring 3 to 5 goals. Or if that were the case and he was the only one not scoring, then it's like, okay, this is a little more concerning. They've just gone through a stretch of just playing average and winning games, which is what great teams do.
I was going to say, I don't know if it's a stretch or it's kind of what they did last season. It's just there hasn't been a guy on that team that's like the overwhelming favorite to get a goal.
That's a valid point.
So it's like, you know, you're taking that. I mean, he's still the fourth highest owned, which, again, continue to say it, in a forward field where you're depending on guys like Bowen and Richarlison and Mark Gooey, it's not good right now. So I think it's okay to keep him because of the potential. But again, this was Arsenal last year. This is Arsenal this year. They spread the goals around. Defenders get some. They get free kick goals. You know, Saka's in and out of the lineup. When he's in and good, he gets goals. So you just really don't know what you're going to get. But
it's valid. That's a good point.
If your name's not Haaland, you're as good of a bet to get a goal any given game week as a guy like Gyökeres, right?
Yeah.
It's just what it is. Unfortunately, you just got to get lucky. Speaking of Haaland, no one get rid of Haaland. Oh, my God. Just don't. Just if you think it's going downhill, it's not.
No, he blamed Go to Salah.
Please. That was last year's conversation, though.
Please, transfer in Salah for Haaland. That's probably the smart play to do.
All right, let's move on to... I'm so bad at pronunciations. Bruno Guimarães. Is that good enough?
That's pretty good.
Is that good enough?
Pretty good.
Right. We'll give it to you.
It's good enough. 6.5 million. 2.8% owned. He's not overwhelming. He doesn't make me like overwhelmingly, I got to get this guy. But I want to talk about him because he is the best player at the moment. I understand Waltimade. I don't know exactly how you say it, but I understand he's there. But you saw it again. He didn't score because he's getting one shot, one goal a lot of his games. So he may score, but he's not, his underlying stats are not that good. So
he had a very clear chance this week. I couldn't believe he didn't score, but you are 100% right.
Guimaraes, he's had a return three of his nine games, but he had two in his last three. That's second amongst mids. Two goals on 10 shots. That's first amongst midfielders. The shots, 10 shots. This is in his last three games, by the way. Yep. In his last three games, he has one assist on six attempted assists. So expected goals, he's 16th, not great. Eighth amongst midfielders, though. That's 16th amongst all players, eighth amongst midfielders. He hasn't had DEFCON, but he's getting very close. He's had two games at 11. I think he's had a game at 9, a game at 8. So he's very close to getting it, but he's not quite getting there. But Newcastle has a really good schedule, frankly, until game week 24. Yes, I know. Their tough part of their schedule is in the back end of the season. Look at them.
They only have City. They only have City and Tottenham.
They have City, and then until game week 24, they have Liverpool. I mean, these are all games can be tough, but they're not playing the powerhouses. Right. So it's a good schedule, and they're one of the better teams. So I think he's interesting, especially after seeing what Murphy did. Murphy had a goal, which might make you think that he's back, but he also missed a one-on-one with a goalie. I don't think Murphy's all that good. I'll be completely honest about that. I think he's okay. I don't think he's better than Guimaraes. I don't even know if he's better than Gordon.
Do we need to bring the short up that you had about him last year? I hit that.
He had one good game, or he had one great game early in the season before anyone even knew his name, and there I was putting him in my starting lineup. 18 points. Bang.
Where's that belief in him this year?
But Bruno, I know, that's not good. Guimaraes, I think I'm bringing it up because Newcastle is such a good team right now, and it feels like there's no one in the midfield you can trust. Dave, you've had Gordon a couple weeks. It's not working out.
It's not.
So if you're looking at Newcastle midfield, guys, the choices are Gordon, Guimaraes, and Murphy. Who interests you the most? I don't think any of them are like overwhelming, gotta have them, but who would interest you the most? Because it's a good team, and they're going to score goals, I think.
Yeah, I don't like, none of them really interest me a whole lot. Anthony Gordon, I was pretty hopeful on 3 weeks ago when I bought him. It hasn't really worked out. Hasn't looked super threatening. He's played well in the Champions League.
He's all over the field. He just isn't threatening.
Yeah, I think it's still Anthony Gordon. Like you said, Guimaraes isn't getting DEFCON. He hasn't gotten it yet. The underlying numbers are okay. I don't like, he's not someone that typically scores a lot of goals every year. He's a great player in real life. But I think it's still Anthony Gordon. I'm thinking about getting rid of Anthony Gordon, but he's the only one of those three I think I would play right now.
Murphy's game doesn't interest you at all, thinking he might be on one of those little stretches he had last year?
Yeah, but they could easily just play Anthony Elanga next game, or right. Harvey Barnes. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's Gordon over Guimaraes, but I am not particularly interested in either of them, to be honest. Like I said, I'm debating getting rid of Gordon this week.
Any opinion, Phil?
I mean, he kind of falls into that mid 6 million price range where the Enzo, Sar, you know, Rice, all those guys fall in. And yeah, he's interesting, but I always go back to, if you're going to spend 6.5 million on him, why aren't you get spending 6.4 million on Sar or 6.5 million on Sar? Unless you're doubling up, then he could. I don't think he's there yet as like that cheap option you want for your midfield. But I think he's a really interesting guy to keep an eye out for because easier run of fixtures. Newcastle's playing strong. Could turn out to be a guy. But I don't know. Not, he's only returning 2 out of 9 or 10 games, right?
Yeah. 3 games. Out of 9, but 2 in his last 3.
Is it three returns or three games? 3 returns in 9 games. Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. 2 returns in his last 3. So he's had 2 returns in his last 3 games.
Okay, because he scored against Liverpool.
Yes.
If he had gotten DEFCON like 3 or 4 times, yeah, I think I'd be more interested. But if I'm going to spend 6.5 mil, you know, just go buy Rice, Endai, Grealish, Enzo,
yeah,
any of those guys in that area.
I think he's right below that. Yeah, like,
and that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I think we're probably a little premature on it. But let's bring him up now to show everyone that we know what we're talking about, and we're in there early. Yeah, in there early.
Clip it
early and often.
It's a good show, man.
Yeah. Nice. So let's move on to
Very impressive.
Thanks. I'm going to give Dave the spotlight because he has two players he'd like to talk about. Not really related at all, but I'm going to let him do it anyways because he's my friend and I appreciate him. So, Dave, you want to talk Munoz and you want to talk Morgan Rogers?
Yeah, real quick. I think it's time to go buy Danny Munoz. The attacking returns are starting to come for him. He's up to a goal and three assists on the season. He's been my favorite Palace guy. I haven't really been in on the Palace defenders other than him when, like, the other three were pretty hot commodities, but yeah. I think it's time to buy Danny Munoz if you can afford it. That's all I really have to say about it. He kind of did the same thing last year where he started slow on the attacking front and then picked it up in the middle. And Morgan Rogers, I'm not saying go buy him yet, but Villa don't suck anymore. He's got a goal and two assists in his last four games.
Yeah.
They just beat Man City. He was super valuable last year, as I'm sure you all know. So just keep your eye on the Villa guys, particularly him. If they keep playing well, then he's somebody that could be a nice
game week 12,
a nice differential after this next game week, because I'm pretty sure they do have a tough match.
They get Liverpool and then Bournemouth, but then they get Leeds, Wolves, and Brighton. Brighton's not a bad team, but they're susceptible.
I don't care too much about Bournemouth, but anyway, keep your eye on Villa. Okay.
Don't care about Tyler Adams?
Yeah, not. I mean, you're not buying Rodgers because you're hoping he keeps a clean sheet. But
yeah, that's fair. That's fair. All right. I just realized for the second week in a row, I forgot to use the player picks video.
Oh my gosh!
Killing us. Killing me, dude.
So we're all our
user. Should I use it now? Or should I not use it?
No.
Okay. It's just insane that I keep forgetting. Someone remind me next week. Jeez, that's the whole reason people come to watch for the little mini videos.
I know.
All right. Well, let's get to the last topic of the day.
Wait, real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick. Were you going to say anything about Bournemouth outside of a Croupy Not Poopy?
No.
No.
I do think, I'm sure most people have maybe a Bournemouth defender, Senesi being the highly owned one. They do play City and Villa way back to back games. But then, guys, they have West Ham at home, Sunderland away, and Everton at home. Those are three clean sheet opportunities. So, basically to say, I hope you have a rotation set up because you probably are going to want to sit Senesi at least for one of those two games. And Villa has gone a little better, where Villa away might not be the easiest clean sheet opportunity, but I wouldn't get rid of them unless you want to waste the transfer, because then they have three games in a row where you can basically set and forget. So, that's Fireside certified, right?
I'm glad that we were mentally on the same page. Yeah. I was waiting for you to say it. So, all right, now we'll go on to the last topic of the day, and that is Brighton. And that is specifically two players. We want to talk about Danny Welbeck, who is coming on strong, as he tends to do, for about 3 weeks. And Dave, who did you want to mention?
Minte.
So, do you want to start, Dave? So, I think you talk Minte, because I think all three of us will have a comment on Welbeck. So, I'll let you start with Minte.
Yeah, I mean, I think he is flying under the radar just a little bit. So, I was comparing him to a lot of the other midfielders in his price range that are kind of like creatively focused, like Grealish, Jeremy Doku, Gakpo. And creatively, his numbers compare really well to those guys. He's way up there in expected assists. He's fourth overall, really similar to Grealish and Doku on that front. He's created three big chances, which is same as Grealish and Doku. The other thing I wanted to point out is the United game was an epitome of this. Like, he was kind of all over the place against United. I feel like he could have gotten more from that on a return standpoint, but I always felt like he was taking somebody on in the box. So I looked to see, one of my favorite stats is touches inside the opponent's box. Among midfielders, he is number one in the Premier League. Wow. He's even more than Mo Salah.
wow, of course.
So, like we always say, Brighton seem to find ways to score goals in every game, no matter
every
what.
Every game. At least one.
It don't matter.
Don't play your defender against them.
He's got a lot of pace. He's very skilled. The creative numbers are there. I think some better days are on the horizon for him. Like I said, I'm thinking about moving off Anthony Gordon, thinking about moving off Mohamed Kudus, and Minte is one of my favorite options, you know, given some of the other stuff I want to do.
I just want to check something real quick.
I would agree with that, and I think pains me to say, but like Reinders, he's obviously...
That's another one.
he was so close so many games, but it feels like he's playing deeper and deeper, especially with what Rodri's not back yet now. No.
No, with another injury.
Yeah, with Rodri not being back. So like I feel like that's a good swap too. Obviously Mente's a little more expensive, but by 0.4 million you can bring him in over,
yeah,
over
Reinders. The eye test checks out with what you just said on Reinders.
Yeah.
And the data backs it up as well. Yeah. Like the threat just isn't there with for the goals and assists.
Brighton's been shut out only one time this season,
yep,
by Everton. So yeah, they do not get shut out all that often, at least at the moment.
When Pickford had his insane game and saved the PK.
I think it might have been, but I can't be sure about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
30-pointer.
Let's wrap it up with the last guy that we all want to talk about because he's very relevant.
Free kick taker extraordinaire, Danny Welbeck.
Danny Welbeck, 6.4 million, 5% owned. He's doing the thing again, the thing that he does where he's good for three games. It's basically the same thing that Vishal Pedro did last year. Yeah. Three-game stretch good, five-game stretch bad, three-game stretch good. But, you know, he's definitely relevant to bring up. So he was irrelevant until about game week six. He now has 5 goals in 4 games. Schedule is solid for this team. But, again, is this just another one of his streaks or flare-ups and it's just going to go out the second people pick him up? He scored points. Or he's second in points for forward since game week six. Only behind Haaland, of course, but he's tied with him on goals. Half the shots. So he only has 8 shots compared to Haaland's 16.
Yeah.
8 shots is 9th place amongst forwards. He's 10th in expected goals at 1.74, 14th in expected assists at 0.21. And of all the forwards in the top 12 for the same period, he's overperforming his XFPL. He's overperforming his FPL by 11 points. That is the most by the top 12 forwards.
Yeah.
Is what I'm trying to say. So my point is, yeah, he's doing all right, but it's the same thing he did last year. He overperformed his underlying stats a lot of the time. He's doing it again. I'm not interested in him. I'm just flat out.
Interesting.
I'm not interested in him because it's the same thing he did last year, and this is the moment where you get him, and I think he goes on a cold streak, and then you get rid of him before he goes on another hot streak. That's just my feeling on it. What say you?
Certainly not ruling out that certain scenario playing out. I don't think he's going to score 5 goals every 4 games, yes, obviously, exactly. But yeah. I mean, he did score 10 goals last year. He's at a nice price, 6.4. He's only 5% owned. And yep. Something I wanted to say, two things. His minutes are more nailed this year. He only started 24 games last year and only played 2,100 minutes, I think I saw, which is far under a regular starter. And there's no João Pedro anymore. So his minutes feel pretty nailed on to me.
He'd be on pens too.
So that as well. And obviously he scored a free kick against United, which I'm not sure where the heck that came from.
I think the goalie could have done a little better.
But anyway. We won't get into that. But the thing I wanted to say on Minte is his schedule is really good.
Yeah, the team schedule.
They don't really have a matchup you're concerned about until they're at Liverpool in game week 16. Since the AFCON stuff is getting a little bit closer, 16 is where we get the 5 free transfers.
Yes.
They play Sunderland, West Ham, and Burnley between game weeks 17 and 20.
Pretty good.
So if you are using transfers on other people, if you have guys going to AFCON, he could just be a set it and forget it during that stretch.
I did want to say, just because you did bring up last season the 10 goals, if you look at him from last season, he ended up finishing 14th in points amongst forwards. I know, like you said, he didn't have locked in minutes, but 14th for forwards. He was 17th in expected goals, 19th in expected assists, 15th in shots on target. You get what I'm going at here. I think he's just not. I think you just have to catch him at the right time, and maybe that's right now. But just don't be upset if you get him right now and you get nothing for the next few weeks, and then you drop him and he comes back. He's a streaky player. That's all I'm trying to say. He's a streaky player, and he is gonna get you points. You just gotta have him at the right time. So yeah. That's my point.
He may volume his way to better stats than last year as well.
He may.
But yeah.
So do you have any last words, Phil, before we close it out on either of those two, Minte or Welbeck?
Nope.
Thank goodness.
You guys are geniuses.
Didn't really want to listen to you Phil. Anymore, so.
All right.
We're wrapping it up. That's time. As always, we will be back same time, same place next week. We'll be looking back at game week 10, forward to game week 11. We're going to have
We're going to go on a safari.
What?
Do a little AFCON talk.
He's making a joke.
Oh, God. Okay, yeah, I mean, he's right, but what a weird way to say that. We are going to be talking AFCON. It was just odd. I just didn't get it. We're talking AFCON. We're talking AFCON slash, I guess, wild card if you still have it, but mostly AFCON.
Same idea.
You know, we're talking getting a lot of new players in at one time. So that'll be coming in the next few weeks, possibly next week, possibly the week after. Look out for that. Other than that, you know, check us out on our socials, Instagram, X, TikTok, Instagram especially. We put some good visuals out there. We show our teams out there. Listen to us on Spotify if you're interested in listening, not watching. I get it. We're not that good looking, but we do our best.
Speak for yourself, man.
But if you are on YouTube and you're watching, like, comment, subscribe. We really appreciate it. It helps us out, especially comments. We love comments. If there's something you like about the show, tell us. If you don't like something about the show, tell us. If you hate our takes, tell us. If you love our takes, tell us. And if you're interested in our teams or talking to us, check out the Patreon. That's all I got. So with that, see ya.
See ya.
Bye.